I'm not ready, y'all, just to let you know. 3 sermons to go. I'm not ready. But will you pray with me? Because I don't have another choice. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I picked this psalm intentionally to go with baptism of the God that knows us before we're born, the God that claims us through baptism, and the God that is there from birth until death and everything in between. And this psalm begins by saying, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." So I was thinking about searches, and I was like, now what kind of a search is this? Is this like a visual search? I look and I see. Is this like a pat-down kind of a search? Is this like an x-ray kind of a search? Is this a search like at the airport where you have to strike the pose and hold it, right? Is this like an x-ray type of search me? Is this like an MRI or CT type of search me? Like, how deep are you going in this search me? Or is this search me like a school or work exam that's trying to see what's in me, in particular in my head? Maybe it's search me like those who've discovered their security cameras at church and I get to stalk you and watch you when you're here. SPRC, I knew exactly when you were leaving yesterday because my phone told me. Search me, O Lord. What kind of searching is God doing? Well, as we go into the psalm, it tells us, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. All right, anybody get caught right there? Wait a second. Before I'm even gonna say it, you know what I'm going to say. Wait, I can't edit what I'm gonna say with God because God already knows that that's what I was gonna say in my initial reaction before my brain caught me and said, change that. God knows me. Before a word on my tongue, you know it completely. The scripture tells us that God knows all of the depths of us. There's nothing about us that God cannot know. And there's a good and a scary part of that. But if we go into the New Testament, I was thinking, like, where's a good story about God knowing someone? And well, since Christ is God, I went to Christ, and Christ has an encounter with a woman at Jacob's well, known as the Samaritan woman. We don't know her name, but Jesus knew her. We have no indication that Jesus has ever met this woman. Jesus did not have internet or social media to be able to look up this woman and stalk her before he met her, like I've already stalked Pastor Jacob and tried to glean as much information from the internet as I could. I didn't find him on social media, just in case you want to try searching. But here Jesus is with this woman, and she thinks this is a stranger. She thinks that this being somebody out of town is probably somebody that doesn't know her, and for her, that would be a good thing. Because who she is and how she's perceived by her town is not necessarily in high regard. But here's Jesus, who comes out with the information and tells her, "I know exactly who you are. I know how many husbands you have, and I know the man you're living with now you are not married to." Dun, 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 right? Jesus knows her. But here's one of the things within that. Without having to ask her questions, without having to spend time with her, Jesus knows her and who she is because Jesus is God and with God's knowledge. And notice that as Jesus comes forth with that information, we're not seeing that information as judgment, and it's not dismissal of her because of it. But what do we see instead? That Jesus recognizes who she is, even that part she would like to hold back from him, and he welcomes her in to the gospel and invites her to be a witness. This is the God that knows us. The God that searches our depths, knows the darkest part of us, and without judgment or dismissal, welcomes us in with unconditional love. But we are human. And as human, we know that God knows us, but too often times we think that we know better than God, don't we? God, that's really great that you think this, know this, want this, but I have other plans. Just ask me how many times I said no to the call to ministry, believing I had better plans than God. But it also makes me think about being a soccer referee. Ugh, you know you all are going to miss my soccer stories, aren't you? Being a referee, I most often choose to be what's called an assistant referee that runs the sideline and as an assistant, a support to the main referee in the middle. I like to be in a supportive role. But what that means is running along the sideline, I am the one that is right next to the sideline of parents. And let me tell you how often the parents believe they know better than the referee in the middle and like to argue about the call. Any of you ever argued about a call? Here's the thing. I like to ask them when they disagree with calls and get upset, have you been through the referee training course? Have you been through the coaching course? My favorite is I like to ask them, can you name one rule of soccer? Guess what, it's a trick question. There's no rules of soccer, but there are 19 laws of soccer. This is what I've learned. But the answer is they are not typically educated in exactly what the rules are. But what do they come with? The rule of love for their child and wanting their child to excel and be able to be cared for on the field. We think we know what's best and what should be called, but the authority on the field is the one that is the most knowledgeable in making those decisions. I also like to tell them that coach/referee Herb, that's usually in the center when I'm ARing, has 35 years of experience as a referee and is at a national level trainer. And so he, at a national level, trains referees. So if you think you know more than him, you're welcome to get out there in a yellow shirt and be the referee. But we see what we need, what we want, and what we think. And oftentimes, we believe that that can override what God wants, sees, and needs from us. But the psalm tells us that as much as we think we know better and want to do better, that we cannot run from God. And not to mention that faith means having trust in God's plan and God's ability to see that plan through. But it tells us in the psalm that God has hemmed us in. Now, how many people here sow or have sowed? There's a few. Jane Nishimura, your hand is not up. Jane is a fantastic sowing person. Well, one thing that I learned quickly with sewing is that sewing, such as hemming, is hard to undo. If you have fully stitched it, and better yet, if you have double-backed it, trying to get those stitches out can be quite the task. Most oftentimes, I find myself just starting over because it takes so much work to undo the stitching, especially if it is tight stitching. And here's the psalmist telling us that God has hemmed us in, that God has come at us from all sides to where we really cannot move without bumping into God. That is how close God is to us. God has hemmed us in, and there is no hiding from God. Us trying to hide from God is kind of like that T-Mobile commercial that talks about playing hide and seek in the desert. Have you seen that commercial? There's no place to hide in the desert. It's just silly or absurd to try to do it. And it is silly and absurd to try to hide from God, because it is not possible. Romans 8 proclaims, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that it is in Christ Jesus." This is the good news side of it, that we cannot escape God's love, that there's nothing that can separate us from it. But again, we're human, right? And we as humans, despite that closeness of God, there are times when we just want to run, desiring to be independent. Woody's not talking yet, but it's very soon that he's going to learn the words, "I do it myself," right? It's the toddler words when they start getting a taste of independence and they want to do it themselves, even though it won't be done right, even though it will make a mess, even though they might fall down, even though they might make a mistake, they want to do it themselves and taste that independence and have that feeling of, yes, I did it. Mom and Dad, I don't need you, right? But what do we know, like toddlers? No matter our desire for independence, no matter our belief in doing it ourselves or how capable we are, we cannot and should not desire to do it without God as a part of it. Being hemmed in, being surrounded by God, being inseparable from God should be what we desire most and not what we try to run from or escape from like a rebellious toddler or teenager. But then the psalm moves on. The psalm moves on as it gets to verse 14. It says, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." One of the words caught me. Fearfully made. And I thought, surely it can't mean that God has created us to be in fear. I mean, we naturally do that as human beings. Everything can make us afraid if we let it. But I thought, surely this is not what's intended. But as the psalm is in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament talks about people being God-fearing people. And it's not fear like, I am afraid of snakes, okay? I don't want to have anything to do with snakes, y'all. It's not a fear like you could be afraid of heights. Not a fear like so many things that frighten us or keep us awake or have us double-checking the lock on our door. But this fear is actually translated better as a reverence. A reverence, something that we have a high respect for. A high respect, such as waves that are crashing on us, that we realize their power, that we can be in awe of them, and know that we do have to be cautious with them because of their power. But that if we treat them right and respect them, boy, they can be beautiful and fun to play in, can't they? The psalmist says, I am reverently and wonderfully made. That with a reverence, a respect, an awe, God has created us. Knit us in our mother's womb to be just who we are. And for us to not look down upon that, for us to not spend time saying, God, why didn't you make me dot, dot, dot? How do we have that same awe and reverence and ability to see the wonder of what God has created us to be? For us to proclaim, I am reverently and wonderfully made. For us to look at this text and tell God, go ahead, search me out. See what is good in me and help me to see it as well. But then as the psalm talks about the wicked and the evil and the hating those who hate, there's an invitation in there to not have what is evil and hateful and harmful within us. To invite God to search us out and to find those flaws and those weak points. To not stand ashamed of them. To not try to hold them back from God, because we know we cannot do that. But to say, God, help me to identify them, and then help me to purge myself and cleanse me from them. To know that God has that capability of wherever our weakness is, wherever we have the potential of harming another, to have God help us to rid ourselves of it. Search out what is holding me back, tearing me down, and help me to cleanse myself of it. The psalm asks us to reject what is evil. And for us this morning is to consider what that is. To reject the evil that happened in Uvalde. To reject the evil that happened in Buffalo. To reject the evil that comes in the form of racism and sexism and all the other isms. To reject the evil that devalues a life, because every life is a child of God. To reject evil in all forms, as is in our baptismal covenant that we shared this morning. God, search us and know us. Help us to see and magnify the good, and help us to rid ourselves of that which is not godly. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for being a God that creates us with such awe. As you are the master and we are your masterpieces, help us to see ourselves as such, and that with that wonderful nature of who we are, may that be the part of us that shines. And may that shining be seen in the form of love, first given to us by you and overflowing to others. Help us to be willing and courageous enough to search ourselves and to see what we do not desire to have within us, and give us the strength to give it up and to let it go. For Lord, we are truly, reverently and wonderfully made, hemmed in by you, and loved unconditionally. And so for this we give praise and thanksgiving to you, our holy God and creator. Amen.